Mr. Allen!
There's no absenteeism here, Portland. Let's go to work.
Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Texaco Star Theater with Richard Hyden, Hilo Jack and the Dame, Portland Hoffa, yours truly, Jimmy Wallington, the Texaco Workshop players, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and starring Fred Allen.
From the United States, for the Armed Forces of the United Nations, the Special Service Division of the War Department presents a delayed broadcast of one of America's most popular radio programs, The Fred Allen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, spring is the season when everything starts to bloom. Tonight, as a tribute to spring, we bring you that perennial bloomer, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Wallington, for that botanical send-off. Ah, Jimmy, don't you enjoy spring here in New York? The birds, the trees, green things shooting up.
Green things? Name me one green thing you've seen in New York.
Well, did you see the St. Patrick's Day parade last Wednesday? Why, that was greener than a grapevine and twice as long, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. That was some parade. You know, I couldn't get across Fifth Avenue for 6 hours.
Well, you should have done what I did, Jimmy.
Well, how did you get across Fifth Avenue?
Well, I joined the Ancient Order of Hibernians, marched 4 blocks in the parade at an angle, and then stepped out on the other side of the street.
Say, how come every March 17th they let 50,000 Irishmen stop traffic and parade down Fifth Avenue?
Do you know anyone who can stop 50,000 Irishmen from doing that? Spring, Jimmy, when a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of his induction day. Yes, spring is...
Mr. Allen!
Oh, Portland. Well, Portland, you're just in time. Have you seen any signs of spring?
I'll say. Mama just bought a new hat.
New hat? One of those grotesque numbers?
It looks like a pie crust with a snap brim.
A pie crust with a snap brim. Looks funny, huh?
When Mama bought the hat, the clerk said, "Shall I wrap it up?"
Well, what did your mother say?
Mama said, "No, I'll put the hat on and get my first laugh in here."
You should have had the hat on when you read that line. I saw... Oh, these new hats are really something. I saw a woman with a hat today. It looked like a pot roast relaxing on a pen wiper.
Mama's winter hat looked like a hot water bottle with flowers on it.
That was the winter hat, huh? Well, I saw a debutante with some kind of a new fur hat. It looked like a Pomeranian's hips backing out of her hair. But enough about spring and millinery. Let's get along to Allen's Alley.
Have you a question?
Oh, you bet. Last week, you know, President Roosevelt sent a plan to Congress that will protect Americans from all economic hazards in the future. And so our question tonight is, are you in favor of cradle-to-grave security? And if not, why not?
Shall we go to Allen's Alley?
Why not? That's the bison song. You ever hear that? Bison girls together. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland.
John, don't wait for that.
Well, perhaps he's gone to bed. Let's make sure. I'll see. Oh, it's you. Yes, Mr. Doe. Tell me, what do you think of this cradle-to-the-grave idea?
Well, there's only one trouble with the world today.
And that is?
The poor has got all the poverty. It's a monopoly.
Well, what?
There's only one solution. The poor have got to share their poverty with the rich.
Well, how can this be done?
Well, we ought to do what they do in England.
What is that?
In England, at the age of 80, the government gives you all the Pepsi-Cola you can drink for nothing.
Pepsi-Cola?
Yeah, it's the beverage plan.
Oh. Well, John Doe favors liquid assets, I see. Let's see what Mrs. Nussbaum's reaction is.
No.
How do you feel about this security plan, Mrs. Nussbaum?
Who is worrying? Life to me is a peacock on the nest. I am sitting pretty.
Like a peacock on the nest, eh? You've never been in want?
Well, I am wanting and getting, but incessantly.
How do you mean?
When I was a little girl, I am wanting money. I shall go to finishing school and getting money.
Fine.
I'm wanting money, I shall get married, and I'm getting money.
Say, you're lucky.
I'm wanting money, we shall all together living on the surface of the land, I'm getting money.
Well, where do you get all this money?
I am living on a plan.
The president's plan?
The modest plan, thank you.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum is getting along all right. Let's see how Socrates Mulligan feels about this. Well, Socrates, how do you feel about the president's plan?
Whole nature. I got my own plan.
What is that?
It's 50-50. Work and security.
Work and security. Well, what is this 50-50 plan of yours?
I got my wife out working as a welder.
Yes.
My mother I got working as a steam fitter.
Yes.
My mother-in-law I got out tending bar.
Fine.
My grandmother, an old lady, I got out panhandling. My four little kids, I got out working for Western Union.
Well, look, just a minute. Tell me, what do you do?
I stay home and keep books. It's 50-50, work and security.
50-50?
Yeah, my family gets to work, I got the security.
Well, that leaves us only one more house. Let's try this little shanty here.
Welcome, friend. My door's ajar. Falstaff's here with la-di-da.
Look, your lapel is blossoming tonight, isn't it? You look tired, Falstaff.
Oh, yes. The muse and I tussled the whole night through.
You did, really?
Yes.
And as a result of this, you have more poems?
Oh, yes. Have you heard? I don't know much about jive, but my draft board can certainly send me.
No?
Or, she sat by the fireside cutting her corn as I tuned in H.V. Kassenbach. Or perhaps mother given her tailor the sack, he made her a shawl with the belt in the back.
Enough is enough. You have breached what was left of our friendship. Tonight we were distinctly talking about post-war security.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
What is your poem called?
From the Cradle to the Grave.
Well, how does it go?
Life used to be a struggle for honest man or knave. The years were fraught with heartaches from the cradle to the grave. But shortly life will be serene. Man will no longer slave. For Congress soon will finance him from the cradle to the grave. Money, schooling, medicine, and all else man may crave will be his for the asking from the cradle to the grave. This is what we fight for. Democracy we'll save. We missed Hitler in his cradle, but we'll see him in his grave.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to greet Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. With Maestro Al Goodman lending a helping hand, the kids sing, "You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To."
On the top hill by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to. And I
sang a lullaby to be all that I could desire. Down under stars, chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise. You'd come home to at night with the stars shining brightly above. You'd be so nice to come home to at night.
Yes, Portland, you are...
Mama sent this encyclopedia over for you to study.
Encyclopedia?
Yes. Aren't you going on the Quiz Kids program next Sunday?
Oh, well, I should worry about the Quiz Kids. I was on Information Please, wasn't I? What are the Quiz Kids? They're nothing but Information Please dehydrated. Yeah, little Kieran's there and little FDA.
Well, you worked with the Quiz Kids last year, and Mama said...
Your mother said what?
Mama said you gave morons a bad name.
Well, as a moron senior grade, your mother should know.
Well, I hope you're as good with the Quiz Kids as Jack Benny was.
Benny, you mean the man with the zoot brain? Do you know why Benny went on the Quiz Kids program?
No, why?
Well, it seems that Benny was making himself a new set of homemade uppers. You see, the uppers gave way. And he had the gums all finished. And he heard that little Joel Kupperman had two loose teeth. So Benny was hoping that the kids' teeth would fall out while he was on the program, you see? Oh, that Benny, he's tighter than the cuffs on a jitterbug's pants. Nothing is tighter than that.
Did you see Jack's new picture, The Meanest Man in the World?
Yes, it's real. I'll remind you to tell you about that next week. It's really the story of Benny's life, The Meanest Man in the World. But enough about the Slim Somerville of tomorrow. Our guest, this will get him out of bed if nothing. Our guest is champing at his bit.
Coming tonight.
Oh, a distinguished visitor. So seldom we run across a word that long. And a distinguished visitor from England.
Anthony Eden, wow!
Now, wait, no, relax, relax, Portland. He wanted to do a double act with the mayor. We didn't get him. We couldn't get Mr. Eden, and so our guest tonight is the famous English criminologist, scientist, lecturer, and pride of Scotland Yard, Inspector Richard Hyde. Good evening, Inspector.
How do you do?
Pardon me, was that you, Inspector?
Yes. I said, how do you do?
Oh, excuse me. I thought something had gone wrong with the air conditioning. That was you. That noise was you talking.
Yes. My mother was frightened by a slow leak.
Oh. Well, tell me, Inspector Hyden, what brings you to America? Are you tracking down some international criminal, are you?
Oh, not at all, not at all. I am here on a goodwill tour.
Well, tell me, how do you spread goodwill?
I simply go around keeping my mouth shut.
I see.
It has won me a host of friends.
I can imagine. Well, now that you are here in Manhattan, what do you think of the people?
I am afraid most of you New Yorkers need glasses.
You think people here have bad eyes?
Yes. They... This is no time for tittering. They are always mistaking me for some gentleman named Jerk.
Tell me, Inspector, do you like our American climate?
Yes.
Do you like our American hospitality?
Yes.
Do you like our American women? You and the Navy have something in common, Inspector.
Thank you.
Well, Gesundheit.
Thank you. I hate to sneeze. It bags my Kleenex.
Yes, sneezing will bag your Kleenex every time, I know.
But then again, the spray adds a bit of life to my gardenia.
Oh, how true. But resuming, Inspector, how do you find our American food?
Oh, I merely look behind those little windows, and there it is.
Little windows? Where have you been eating?
I believe it is called the automatic eating.
No, do you mean the automat?
Oh, yes, the automat, sir.
Now, do you like the cuisine at the automat?
Oh, after I pick out the ground glass, the food is delicious.
Ground glass?
Yes, I can't seem to break those little windows in one piece.
Well, you are not supposed to break the glass, Inspector. You're supposed to put a nickel in and those little windows fly open.
No, he tells me.
Well, I know you're a busy night and day trailing criminals, Inspector. Tell me, how do you relax? Do you have any hobbies?
I have only one hobby, collecting.
Collecting what?
Things.
What things?
The things people throw away. For instance, some people eat the tips of asparagus.
Oh, and you?
I collect the asparagus bottoms.
Old asparagus bottoms, eh?
I also collect old lamb chop bones,
yeah.
Old light bulbs, potato peels, the ankles from old pig's feet.
Well, what do you do with all of these things people throw away?
Oh, I take them to my room, sort them out in alphabetical order.
Yes?
Then, on Mother's Day, I give them to my mother.
Oh, well, that is a nice gesture.
Yes, my mother is a female scavenger.
Really?
Mother's only friend is a buzzard.
Well, I'd like to see you, your mother, and the buzzard on We the People some night when the wind is right. Now, as a highlight of our interview, Inspector Hayden, tell me, what are some of the outstanding English crimes you have solved?
Well, there was the Wharton case.
The Wharton case?
Young Wharton, a ne'er-do-well, if ever I saw one, pressed his grandfather's head between two bookends until it came to a point.
The grandfather's head came to a point?
Yes. Young Wharton buried the old gentleman by driving him into the ground with a croquet mallet.
Yes.
Then there was the Chinatown Gertie case.
Yes.
Chinatown Gertie was beaten to death with two chopsticks.
Well, Inspector, how would you like to dramatize one of your cases on the radio tonight?
Oh, hot diggity.
All right. We'll show you how one of your famous crimes would sound on an American-sponsored radio program. Now, what mystery can we use?
Well, how about murder? The great goldfish murder.
The great goldfish murder sounds fine. Music, Mr. Goodman.
The makers of Krovny's concentrated coffee present Crime Busters. Before we bring you tonight's guest crime buster, you have got to hear a long, dull message from our sponsor. Are you having trouble getting coffee today? Then try Krovny's concentrated coffee. It's the coffee that's easy to get. Most grocers are out of other brands of coffee, but their shelves are still loaded with Krovny's. There's a reason. Krovny's concentrated coffee comes to you scientifically rancid. You don't have to let your coffee lie around open for a week to get stale. Krovny's is brighter stale in the pack. Krovny's concentrated coffee contains 98% caffeine. Try a cup before going to bed. You'll be up all night thinking of its rich, tasty goodness. Krovny's coffee is good till you at last drop. Get Krovny's today in the regular 1-pound tin. Or better yet, get the handy 2-ton size. And remember, Krovny spelled backwards is Yenbok.
crime busters, and here is your host, who is responsible for tonight's crime, Colonel J. Edgar Allan. Colonel Allan,
thank you. Tonight, crime lovers, our guest is that famous English criminologist, Inspector Hyten of Scotland Yard. I had the pleasure of assisting the inspector on his first assignment here in this country, the famous Goldfish murder case. And here is Inspector Hyten to tell us how he solved this exciting crime. Inspector Hyten.
Oh, thank you.
Inspector, about this Goldfish murder, just what happened?
I was sitting in my hotel room one morning, chasing the moths out of some old clues.
Yes?
Suddenly a call came on my shortwave radio.
Calling all cops to Barney's Pet Shop. Calling all cops to Barney's Pet Shop. Barney has been murdered. Calling Colonel Allen. Calling Inspector Hyten. Work fast, boys. You're both M1A. Calling all cops.
Yes? I remember that call, Inspector. I got to Barney's Pet Shop before you did. I opened the door.
Phew.
Barney, the owner, was lying on the floor dead. A man rushed out of the back room of the pet shop with a cobra coiled around his arm. The man said,
"Oh, this is terrible. Poor Barney. He was my best friend."
"Just a minute. Who are you?"
"I'm Jones, the late Barney's assistant."
"Now come clean, Jones. Who killed Barney?"
"How should I know? I was in the back room, curry combing a mongoose. I heard a shot."
"Yes?"
"I rushed to the front of the shop. And there was Barney dead."
"Was Barney alone here in the pet shop?"
"No, there was a customer. There he is, that little guy, hiding behind the cockatoo cage."
"Come out of there, you. Who are you?"
"I'm Nemo Bemis. I just come in to buy an orangutan. A big one."
"Uh-huh. You were in here for monkey business,
he
eh?"
"He must have killed Barney, officer."
"Honest, I didn't, officer. Barney was dead when I come in."
"There is only one man who could solve this case. And here he is now, Inspector Hyten."
"How do you please?"
"This is a crime for you, Inspector Hyten."
"What are the facts, Colonel Allen?"
"Barney, the owner of this pet shop, has been murdered. Jones here, this stout gentleman, was Barney's assistant."
"Well, I didn't kill Barney. I was, in fact, Corey Coleman among ghosts."
"A likely story. Who is this other chap?"
"He says he is Nemo Bemis."
"I come in to buy an orangutan. A big one. But I didn't kill Barney. Barney was dead when I come in."
"What is your next move, Inspector?"
"You take their fingerprints, Colonel."
"Yes, sir."
"I shall look about for a clue." "You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so..." "What's this?"
"What is it, a clue, Inspector?"
"This goldfish bowl."
"It's empty."
"This sign says, this last 24 imported goldfish, a bargain, $295.
"Whoever killed Barney, Inspector, stole those goldfish. One of these two suspects here is guilty."
"I didn't do it. Barney was my best friend."
"I didn't do it. I only come in to buy an orangutan. A big one."
"Obviously one of these gentlemen is fabricating."
"Well, I'll soon find out, Inspector. I'll give them the third degree." "All right, first, you, Bemis."
"I didn't do nothing."
Quiet. Loosen your tie. Open your pores. Start to sweat. Why did you come into the pet shop?"
"To buy an orangutan. A big one."
"You found Barney dead?"
"Yeah."
"Did you kill Barney?"
"No, did you?"
"No."
"Why did you come into the pet shop?"
"Well, I got the police call on the radio."
"Got any witnesses?"
"Well, there were a couple of the boys around."
"Oh, a couple of the boys, huh? But you can't name them, can you?"
"Yes, I can. There were two lads." "Hey, wait a minute. Well, who's grilling who here?"
Colonel.
"You found something, Inspector?"
"Yes, a grammatical error."
"What?"
"You said, who is grilling who?"
"Yes."
"You should have said, who is grilling whom?" "The pronoun whom, when confronted by the past subjunctive..."
"Now, wait a minute. Never mind that, Inspector. We're stymied here. The murderer didn't leave a clue."
"I'm not so sure, old Bruin."
"You have a clue, Inspector?"
"Hand me that goldfish bowl, Colonel Allen."
"Here you are, Inspector."
"Here in my pocketbook, I have a piece of dry ice."
"Dry ice in with your money?"
"Set the goldfish bowl on this dry ice."
"All right. Gad, look. The water freezes it instantly."
"Exactly. I told you to take these characters' fingerprints."
"I have the fingerprints right here, Inspector."
"Ah, bully. I shall compare these with the prints in the bowl."
"But there aren't any fingerprints on the goldfish bowl, Inspector."
"The man who stole those goldfish left his fingerprints in the bowl, sir."
"In the water, yes."
"I froze the water with the dry ice."
"Yes."
"You see on top of the ice?"
"Fingerprints."
"Exactly. The man who killed Barney was..."
"Yes?"
"Jones, Barney's assistant."
"You ain't got nothing on me."
"Oh, no? explain this card I happened to find on the floor.
An invitation to his college alumni banquet.
That is why you stole the goldfish, Jones.
All right. I confess. I tried to steal the goldfish. Barney caught me. I killed him.
But why?
I had to have them goldfish to go to my college alumni banquet. When I was in college, I was a champagne goldfish swallower. I wanted to show the boys I still had something on the ball.
Colonel Allen, the goldfish murder is solved.
Wonderful, Inspector. There's only one thing I don't understand.
Yes?
That dry ice. How did you happen to have that dry ice in your pocketbook?
Elementary, dear boy. My salary was frozen last January.
Just heard a delayed broadcast scheduled expressly at this time for the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.